God, we would ask that your hand be upon this service. Lord, that you would bless Brother Steve as he brings us the Sunday school lesson. And Lord, these series of studies have been a wonderful help to us, God. And Lord, we just love hearing the word of the Lord. And Lord, we're trying our best to hide it in our hearts. And God, we just need your help to have it there so that we can recall, Lord, when we witness to someone or when there's a need in our life, dear God, to share that. And Lord, we would pray this morning that you would bless each of the prayer requests that we talked about. And Lord, we do pray for Brother Bob, Sister Judy, and Brother Mickey, Lord, especially. And Lord, there's others, Lord, that are going through things, and we pray that you'll be with them, bless it. We do pray for this eye surgery, God, that you will be in it. And Father, that you will help see these folks through these times in their lives. And Lord, I know you helped me one day, Lord. And Lord, there was a time in my life when I faced a serious situation, and God, you helped me through it. And I thank you for that. And Lord, remember Brother Norris this morning as he comes. I pray that you'll use him. Father, that you'll get glory from what goes on here. And Lord, we pray that if there's someone here, Lord, that don't know you as Lord and Savior, today might be the day they hear your word and be born again. Thank you again. Bless us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Lots to pray about. Folks, we all know that we have the minute, and tomorrow is not guaranteed. The phone can ring, and that cancer word can be said. A lot of us have faced that already. And God gets you through it. He got me through it. Got Debbie through it to heaven. And praise the Lord for his glorious grace and strength that he gives us during these times. But really, I thank you so much for the prayers that you prayed for me and Debbie and I, during the time that we dealt with that in our lives. But now it's all new. We know Pam and I both have mates that are in heaven, and through meeting and counseling and talking about that, we met and we fell in love, and we're going to be married on the 8th, so we're having a small family ceremony, and then later this year, we'll have an event at the barn, and everybody will be invited, and we'll have a good time there at the wedding barn. So, that being said, that's what's going on with my life right now, and Pam. We praise the Lord that God allowed us to meet, and it's of Him that we were going through a valley, and God seemed fit to help us come out of that valley. So, praise His name. Well, let's continue on with our series today and try to get through this particular place where we're at on the chart. Up there, turn the chart on. He's working on it. So, with the next step in that, there it is. The next step in that, of course, you see the marriage supper of the Lamb there. And then it's the revelation of Christ. And we're getting ready to come with Him from the marriage supper. If you think about weddings and how they happen, the bride and the groom usually take off and go somewhere for a few days. to celebrate that. And Christ is going to take us. We're going to be involved in this. All of us that are saved, of course, we're going to be sitting at the marriage supper of the Lamb. And we're going to be able to get up from that table, from that celebration of what Christ did for us. And he's going to take us back to earth for 1,000 years for a, you could say, a wedding trip. But who is the bridegroom? We're down to that point to where we want to look at a little more details about who the bridegroom is. And we know last week we looked at that example of the king that had the wedding. And through that we understand that few are chosen. Few have accepted. I mean, when the Bible talks about being predestinated, God predestinated salvation for mankind. He did not predestinate that I would be saved. We have that soul liberty to choose on our own whether we accept what Christ did on the cross. It was predestinated from the foundation of the world that Christ would come and die on the cross for our sins. And we have those that have chosen Christ will be at that marriage supper of the Lamb. And that includes us here if you're saved. Everybody here that as far as I know is saved. So we'll be there with that. So if you look at a verse in John 3:29, and it says he hath, here in John he's talking about this. And he that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which John the Baptist is talking about himself here, which standeth and heareth him, rejoice greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This is my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. John's standing there getting ready to baptize Christ, realizing through the Holy Spirit touching his heart and soul and saying these things, and got recorded in God's word. We know that day that the Trinity was there with Christ being baptized with John. And he was inspired to call him the bridegroom at that time. And that's what we've been looking at here, that the bridegroom is what we're talking about here at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Now, this bridegroom, let me get back. I'm layered here. I've got where I do all this computer stuff. I print it out. So who is the bridegroom? And the bridegroom is, we looked at last week, is the king's son, as we looked at that parable last week. Well, this parable so parallels what's going on in heaven. We have God, the king, and his son sitting at his right hand. And that's who's getting ready to receive. As John the Baptist spoke there, he said, Christ the bridegroom. And himself as a friend of the bridegroom. And rejoiced in his voice. We see that John was excited about that at that time. So the bridegroom saying, can... If you can go back to that 10 virgin parable and look what went on there, even is a picture of this and how it all comes together. We see that the kingdom of heaven, it says there is likened unto the 10 virgins. So here we are in the kingdom of heaven, and this bridegroom is Christ getting ready to receive the church that he died for. And who is the bride? You know, there's some commentaries I've read, two or three different, well, I've read more than that. There's difference of opinions of the bride, because she is called a wife. In Revelations, it talks about Israel in the Old Testament being the called to himself the husband of Israel. But we know that because of what the Word says, it's the church, it's the saved ones, it's the ones that he died for. We can go back and look at the very first verses that we read. Let me see if I can find those. Go back to page one here. And it says, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor unto him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen." Now, you remember last week we talked about the example of the king asking people to come in, and he was going to give them fine linen. Everybody had to put on a white robe to be in the wedding, to even be there. Again, there's another example of how that parable parallels into this with the fine linen. Just one little thing, clean and white. And of course, we're going to talk about the revelation that we're going to be dressed in that white. "For this linen was the righteousness of the saints." The righteousness of the saints. It's not the linen that saves us. We receive that because we are already saved and we show up at the wedding. We are the bride, the church. We get that because we're already saved. See, people get the salvation and this linen thing, and the righteousness and all that stuff kind of gets back and forth, and can be swarped around to where it's confusing, and there's no confusion to it. It's all because of what Christ did on the cross. What are we at our best? We're filthy rags, the Bible says. At our best, the best we can do, the best we can act, the best we can be, the cleanest we can get. We can't wash sin away. But because of what Christ did on the cross, we have that righteousness bestowed on us. And because of that, we're in the church, so-called church, the ones that Christ died for, to be able to have the privilege to sit down at this marriage supper of the Lamb. It's not the marriage, it's the supper. The marriage has already happened. Of course, we talked about in the center there, it talks about the judgment seat of the believer's works, the judgment seat of Christ. We have to do that first, when the rapture comes. Then sometime after that righteousness, the Bible's not crystal on this, there is a joining of the church. The God rewards Christ, and there's indications in many verses and revelations and Daniel and all back and forth and all that God rewards Christ for what he did on the cross. He gives him us, the ones that he died for. And for that, this bride, just like the 10 virgins, they all were ready to go. And some of the people say that they like to think in that the one that got in, of course, got married, but the other virgins that were there were most likely saved because they were there. They're the bridesmaids. Some people like to think about it like that. But it's all because of what Christ did. We have nothing to do with any of this. We're privileged. God loves us and is doing it for us. So we get white raiment. Pure linen, white. It is a significant thing portraying righteousness because of what the Son did. So when God looks at us, we know this for a fact, when He looks at us now, He doesn't see our sin. He sees the righteousness of Christ. It all works together. It fits perfectly. We can think about all the verses back and forth and new and old, and you could read on and read on, and all those, there's not a one that does not go right together. The thread of Christ's salvation and the thread of blood through the Bible from the very beginning to the very end, it's all about the church, the saved ones, and we're there. Praise His name. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for Your love. We thank You for Your salvation. We can't fathom the depth of it all. It's sometimes hard to think about, hard to talk about. Our minds will only go so far. Lord, help us to just hold on to the truth of it. The truth of Your salvation that You freely give us, that we're righteous in front of a holy God. We thank You for that. So much we thank You for that. And what a picture this marriage is of how You love the church and how You love us as saved ones, that we chose to trust You for our salvation. And from that, You bestowed righteousness on us. And we're going to get to wear these pure white garments at this wedding feast. Lord, what a picture. What a picture of peace and forever with You and praising Your name for what You did. You did it all. You allowed us to be there, God, and we thank You for that. We praise Your name. In Jesus' name, amen. So we see that there is, if you look at the Old Testament and the New Testament, a lot of people want to get the Jews entangled into this as being a bride. They are at a point in the Old Testament. So we could say, yes, looking at the Old Testament, you can talk about the nation of Israel, His chosen people. But in the New Testament, in the New Testament, there is one bride, and it's the saved people of Christ. So how can we bring the Jews into that? Well, at Pentecost, the church was started in the New Testament. We are in the dispensation of church. It's not on this chart, it's back that way. Can you shift that chart back that direction? Back to the left, my left? Or, yeah, looking this way, be my right. Can you shift it? Just give it a try there. You don't have to. But anyway, during this dispensation that we're in, the church age, the age of grace, God is seeing Christ's righteousness bestowed on us as sinners. Well, at that point, once we're raptured, now we're looking at the church age there. Present age, it says. We're inside that dispensation there. So we see the cross, and we're some 2,000 some years from the cross that we've been in this church age. Now, we know that in 70 AD, Jerusalem was completely destroyed by the Roman Empire. The New Testament churches had started. They were being persecuted by the Roman Empire, and it spread. From their persecution, folks left that part of the world and moved to India, moved to England, moved north, moved south. And the church and the truth of the gospel started spreading around the world. You know, you can look at the Roman Empire as a bad thing. One thing they did do is they drove people away. And there's nobody can take this from us. It's right here. And no matter where we go in this world, They're not going to take salvation out of our hearts. They can't take it away from us. That's one thing they don't like. The socialistic liberal thinking. That's why when I was in the Ukraine, evidence of the socialistic society that drove Christian people underground, put them in prison. They wanted to put it away. They couldn't get rid of it. They killed them. They put them away. They put them in prisons, tore their churches down. And in secret, they would have churches. They couldn't take it out of their hearts. They would take the pages of the Bible, one page at a time, and pass them around through the community. You think about that. Because they couldn't have a Bible. They'd take one page at a time and pass it around secretly. You can't take that away. The Roman Empire tried to stomp it out at that time, but it did nothing but seed the world with the gospel. And here we are today, some 2,000 years from that, from in the church age, and the next thing that's getting ready to happen is the rapture. Folks, we're anybody you talk to, our pastor, other pastors, with the shape the world's in, we're so close to this. We're closer than we've ever been. I've heard this all my life from my grandfather, and you all have heard it preached and taught. It's coming, it's coming, it's coming. The world's going to wax worse and worse. Well, how? It's waxing worse and worse. So here we are. We're on the doorstep of this great thing that's going to happen to us. This rapture. Of all the saints of the past and the church, those of us are alive, it's going to happen. So the two brides, who are the brides? One bride of the Old Testament is the nation of Israel. And they're going to fall into this in just a second. I'll get into that. And then we've got us, the church, the present age. So it talks about at the judgment seat of Christ, those that have been saved because of the blood of Christ that was shed during the church age. So what about all the people in the past from the cross back? The nation of Israel and Gentiles and all that, the persecution, it went on then. Well, they were saved too. It was a different dispensation, a different time. God deals with mankind in different ways. That's what this dispensation word means. God, it's one of the meanings. God dealing with mankind in particular different ways. And he's going to deal with us differently in the 10,000 year reign. I don't understand all that. How are we going to be walking around here on earth, saved, in our holy bodies, white raiment, and then there's going to be people come through the tribulation period, which are called sheep, will come into that 1,000-year reign. So you're going to have physical people just like us, plus the church people there, living on earth during that 1,000-year reign. Think about that. We'll get into that 2 or 3 weeks from now. Maybe longer. I don't know. We just got to get there. So we see in 1 Thessalonians a wonderful verse that we all held on to, chapter 4, verse 16 and 17. It says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air." So you don't come back. We meet him in the air. Remember we talked about heavens. Our atmosphere is one heaven, the air. And then another heaven is the stars and the moon and all that. And then the other heaven is God's heaven, where his abode is. So he meets us in the air of this earth. His feet don't touch the ground. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Ever be. Ever be. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. What a comfort that is. How many times have you been comforted with the word of a loved one passing away, knowing they're in heaven? What a comfort that is. Yes, we miss them. Yes, we love them. But we know they're in God's arms. Isn't that a wonderful thing? A wonderful truth that we can hold on to. The hope that we have. Nobody's going to take that from me. They can't pull that out of my heart. That's sealed with the Holy Spirit. So we have so many truths. So many assume that the bride is composed of all the saints from the past, and it can't be. It cannot be. It's for the church did not exist until the day of Pentecost. You understand that? Until the disciples in Christ started the church at the day of Pentecost and started preaching the word, the truth that Christ died on the cross for their sins. That's when it started. That's the crowd that we're talking about. That's who the bride is. From the day of Pentecost till now. So don't get entangled in thinking it's everybody that's in the past that's been saved. And what does it mean when it says he's making herself ready? Well, we looked at the parable last week, and I talked already about that this parable and it's described as preparing the bride being adorned for her husband. Because of what Christ did, it's all back to Christ. God sitting there, Christ at his right hand, and the bride, can you see us all coming in the door of heaven when we're raptured out of this earth, and Christ sees us walking in the people that he died for, and he asks us, how you doing? You did pretty good. And he talks to us about what we did as Christians. And then sometime between that and this marriage supper of the Lamb, God bestows through Christ this white raiment. What a wonderful time that'll be. Just think about that. This wedding garment that God says, because of what Christ, I'm just not sure God's going to look at us. And it's going to say, because of what Christ did, here's your wedding garment. Could it be that? Think about that meeting. It's hard to think about. For me, it's emotional. So we come through that judgment seat of Christ, and our false works are just taken away, burned up, it says. And then we get that wedding garment. So now we're looking at this, what is a marriage supper of the Lamb? Well, a wedding, I mean, it doesn't really talk about the wedding a whole lot. It talks about this marriage feast. It talks about a celebration. Because of these wedding garments that we receive, we're going to have a celebration. Do we have a celebration when we get married? Yeah, everybody has a nice big dinner. Pam and I are going to do it. We're going to just have family there. and have some food and celebrate with our children and our grandchildren. And later on, we'll have a big thing at the barn and we'll celebrate with you guys. But here we are in heaven and we're going to be celebrating with this feast. Of course, I just have to think that there'll be soup, beans, and cornbread there. Pork chops and fried potatoes. Sounds pretty good to me. Maybe have breakfast with gravy and biscuits, fried potatoes, big slice of tomato. See, all that stuff makes us smile, don't it? Does God want us to smile? Well, sure he does. Sure he does. Going to be some good stuff? Good stuff. Maybe manna on the table. I've always wanted to taste that. They said it was good. Good for you. I just wonder if that stuff helped their shoes from wearing out. I think they was eating that manna and they just walked like angels, walked real light on their shoes and they lasted for a long time. That's crazy thinking that. I like to think about things like that. It's fun. But here we are at this supper. What an honor. To receive honor. Just to receive an invitation. Just to be present. Just to be, just, it was so exciting for John to hear this. He was so excited about it. When John got this unction from the Holy Spirit to write this down, the angel said, now write this down. He said, write, put it down in black and white, lest ye forget. I mean, he was so excited to hear this. Doesn't it excite you to hear this? That you're going to be at this celebration of your salvation? What a wonderful thing. Right, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. That's what he wrote down. Blessed. We're blessed. And who's the guest? Who's going to be our guest? There's going to be lots of guests at this wedding. Going to be lots of guests. Some people think that the 10 virgins will be there. We're not sure. A lot of folks believe that that's a picture of the guest that'll be there. The bridesmaids. So we go back to that we looked at last week. This king brought all these folks in. They got their robes on. They were there. They were guests at this supper. Well, who are these people? Where do they come from? All right, let's go back to the dispensation where we're at now. On the chart. You look there at where the crosses are at. The day of Pentecost begins the church age. And that's who's getting married. Well, what about all them people in the past? All the saints of God in the Old Testament. Where do they fall into this? They're going to be right there. That's going to be the guest. Think about that. Think we're going to be sitting, celebrating with the white raiment, the church. And here comes the Old Testament guest in. All of them. Abraham. Noah. I mean, all the prophets. On and on and on. They're all going to be there. John the Baptist is going to be there. The we're going to be part of the blood-washed multitude sitting at that table. And all these guests of the Old Testament, they're rejoicing with us. Rejoicing with us. I mean, you think how special this is. We look at some of those Old Testament saints, people that we think, I could have never done that. I could have never been that way. How could Abraham ever done what he did? Because of the power of God. And all of them are going to be there honoring us. How is that possible? It's because of God and Christ and what he did, because it all goes back to that cross and what Christ did. God is going to honor his son with the church, with us, in front of all those Old Testament saints of the past. And probably all the angels will be spectators, standing around, thousands and ten thousands of angels all about. I think they're going to be flying, floating, or whatever they do, and praising the Lord and singing beautiful music. There's always beautiful music at a wedding. Just picture it, folks. I mean, we have pretty weddings and stuff. We have a lot of them at the barn, and all of them are pretty. Some are more than the other. Celebrations. Happiness. I've never seen anybody come to the barn that ain't happy. They're just happy to be there. Because they're going to have a wedding. Going to have a big dinner. Can't we be happy about that? I can. I can get plumb excited about it. The Lord it's just going to be beyond understanding. My mind can only go so far. So the next thing that's going to happen on this chart is we're going to finish up the marriage supper of the Lamb, and then we're going to have the revelation. That's the next thing I'm going to talk about in detail. Because we're going to be there with Christ. Remember, we're going to stay with Christ here. We're going to be right at his side. And I want to follow us as we do that. Let us follow right along with Christ here. See all the little details. Can you imagine when his feet hit the ground on Mount Olives that it's going to crack open? It's going to shake the world. It's going to shake the world. I got to looking at that. How is that going to shake the world? I mean, God's feet's heavy. He's heavy. He created. He can shake the world. If you know anything about plate tectonics and earthquakes, there's three or four major faults run right through that area. Tectonic plates joined together right almost directly under Mount Olive. Plumb down to Africa, Asia, all of Europe, all of them, mate, right there. And his feet's going to hit right there. He's going to shake that part of the world. They're going to know that Christ and the church has arrived. What a day that will be. And we're going to be there and get to see all that. So we'll be talking about that the next time I'm here. So I guess I'm done with the marriage supper of the Lamb. Are you ready to go? Are you excited? I am. And if you've got some loved ones that need to be saved, you better be telling them. It may be too late tomorrow if you want them at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Lord, we thank you for your love and all these beautiful promises. Because of what Christ did on the cross, Lord, you have been so good to us. You're good to us now. And you're going to be good to us forever and ever and ever. And God, we thank you for that. We thank you for that. Now, Lord, I want to pray for a church service today. Pray that you touch our speaker today. I'm anxious to hear him. Lord, we pray that we have lots of visitors. Pray that someone gets saved today before it's eternally too late. Lord, help us to have a good service today together. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen.